Yesterday saw a series of strange phenomena at City Hall. To begin things, Mayor Ted Wheeler read his now standard admonition to the audience to keep quiet.
We're asking everybody to work with us to maintain decorum and order in the council chamber. As per council rules, disruptions are not allowed. If anybody disrupts, you'll be asked to leave. If you don't leave, you're subject to arrest or trespassing. We don't want that to happen. We want everybody to be heard today.
And nobody interrupted him to call him a murderer or shout radio-unfriendly words at him. Later, a number of the city's fiercest police oversight activists expressed their approval of the council's actions on three related oversight proposals. Joanne Hardesty, who recently announced her campaign against Commissioner Dan Saltzman, offered rare words to the council on behalf of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition.
The AMAC commends Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Fish for putting forth an amendment requiring immediate implementation of a directive that mandates prompt compelled testimony from police officers who use deadly force. I guess I should have paused when I said we commend you, just so that you could have that sink in.
They said, thank you. I don't even
know what that means. Thank you. Yeah, this was good. You did something good, is what
thank
they said.
Jerry.
Okay,
yeah,
I think I should pause because we normally are beating up on you, so we just want to appreciate that.
Thank you.
She was referring to a new rule that mandates internal affairs interviews of officers who use deadly force within 48 hours of the incident. Not everything was smiles and roses at the hearing, of course. Shortly after that commendation, Hardesty stated a criticism of the new rule that was shared by nearly everyone else who testified.
The amended proposal includes a new broad loophole for compelling testimony. Paragraph 21 allows the city to defer an administrative investigation until after the criminal investigation is complete, where circumstances, and this is in quotes, suggest that such deferral is warranted in a particular case. If the city has a particular concern about compelling testimony, it should seek judicial review of the directive or include only a very narrow and specific exception to the rule that testimony should be compelled within 24 hours.
That brings us to the strangest phenomena of all, Portland City Council making rapid changes to police oversight measures in response to public testimony. Or at least that's how it looked in chambers yesterday. Last week, dozens of citizens expressed outrage at a marathon hearing on Thursday, most of it directed at a different proposal which would have created a civilian oversight board with diminished power. The council decided in the meantime to table the proposal for a hearing on August 24th, giving them a week to make amendments and the public a week to review those amendments. Most of the back and forth yesterday was focused on the new rules for compelling administrative interviews of officers who use deadly force as soon as possible after the event. The rule would be enshrined as Police Directive 1010.10, replacing a different version of that directive recently approved by the Police Bureau. That version allowed for no administrative testimony until a criminal investigation was complete. That is, Internal Affairs could not go near the involved officer until after the Detective Division completed its investigation of the event, which could take months. This reasoning is based on a memo from District Attorney Rod Underhill from March, which said that an administrative interview could contaminate the evidence in a criminal case. Paragraph 21 of the Council's new proposal, as Hardesty said, allows a supervising officer to determine if the involved officer is likely to be indicted in the future, and then exempt that officer from the administrative interview. It was put in, Wheeler explained, to protect the directive from being thrown out in future litigation. Lindsay Burrows of the National Lawyers Guild's Portland chapter countered that reasoning to the sound of approving finger snaps from the audience.
Reading paragraph 21, I mean, I understand and I completely agree that the city believes it's on strong legal footing. I certainly believe that. But paragraph 21 doesn't indicate that that's how the city really feels. And it's going to create this sort of discretionary thing. So I'm saying if there's worry about the constitutionality, let a court decide, get rid of paragraph 21.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz echoed that sentiment before asking for the removal of paragraph 21, noting the likelihood that an officer would be indicted by a grand jury for killing someone in the line of duty is slim.
I do respect when you say there's a significant risk that criminal investigation could be tainted. However, with only 54 officers having been indicted nationwide since 2004 out of hundreds or tens of thousands of shootings, to me doesn't seem like a significant risk because it just doesn't happen.
In the end, the council voted unanimously to institute the directive without removing paragraph 21. They also voted to seek judicial review of the directive. However, it will go into immediate effect, meaning that if somebody is shot by a cop, that officer will have to give testimony to internal affairs within 48 hours. Unless, of course, their supervisor gives them an exemption under paragraph 21. For KBOO Evening News in Portland, I'm Sam Bowman.